Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You think about this. And if anybody studied the Word of God really well, I would say Rick Joyner studied it really well. And as he studied the heroes of the Bible, there's only two, maybe three of the heroes that were priests. Only two or three, that's it. The rest of the heroes weren't. And most people, when you think about ministry in America, they think about a pulpit. What God has shown us about pulpits, you don't necessarily want to be behind one. Not anything against them, but what's being said, what they represent. I mean, ask Tommy Tenney and God Chasers, read about it, and that it matters what you say. But for some, you know, for whatever reason God has chose to do this, he's chose to do this by teaching the Word of God, teaching whatever, that's how we learn things. And so if you teach the wrong thing behind a pulpit in the name of God, people receive that as from God. And now you're actually misleading God's people, like, I don't know, Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2 in the church of Thyatira. But that's how people define it. It's like, you know, I'm feeding the hungry in 17 nations. I just, you know, built 75 orphanages. I just saved my neighbor from a flash flood warning, and I built a house, you know, for this widow woman that lost her husband. But, man, I just feel like, you know, I'm called in ministry. I need to, you know, they won't let me preach. It's like, please don't. I mean, like, look what you're doing. Don't stop what you're doing. I mean, supposedly somebody should have told you that is ministry, and whoever's preparing you, like the fivefold ministry works of service, they should have told you that's what they prepared you for. But that's obviously right. They didn't. So God prepared you outside of them. Praise God. And you're doing the work of ministry.
That's right.
The biggest ministry that, you know, that may ever happen. This is powerful. This is one thing that was brought out by Rick Joyner at the summit, was the most powerful message preached by Jesus was preached on the road, the Emmaus Road. Two men. Jesus preached it to two men and ended up sitting at a table with a dinner with a few disciples. That was it. But it was powerful. Did not your hearts burn when he talked to you? When they broke the bread, their eyes were open and they were seeing who he is. They were filled with, it was only two men and Jesus, and then it was disciples and Jesus. So it was not many. How many people look? It's like, this couldn't be God, because it's just two of us and God. And it's like, but it's God, brother. You know, how can you add to God? Right. But it's like, it's just, and so, I mean, you could pastor your neighborhood. For example, you know, God's given me a burden for my neighbors. Mm-hmm. You know, I pray, Don and I, and we pray for our neighborhood, and we try to know them, and we have a watch where we come together and watch after each other, and the Harvest Day celebration is coming up, and we always prepare a basket full of the harvest, you know, vegetables and all this kind of stuff, and sprinkle it with some unmarked candy for the kids, and we deliver that to the houses and neighbors that have children to let them know, with a thing that says, you know, God's God of the harvest, and we just want to thank God for what he's done in our life, and we try to rescue each other. And I don't know if he's listened, but one of our neighbors came and got me. And we have another neighbor that feeds the homeless. And she would go out every once a week and not just the homeless. She goes to the most critical person out there. It's beautiful. And but she comes home. I guess she came home, whatever. We get over there. He says her door's wide open on her house. It's like 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
What neighbors, this is so beautiful, I just love our neighborhood, but we do that because we actually care about each other. Right. We're thinking about each other. And so we go over there, he and I go over there to look, and the door's kind of cracked, so we push the door wide open, and it's just like dark in there, and your imagination's kind of going. And it was just hilarious. So anyway, we're calling out into her name, and she's a single lady. You know, working with the homeless, transients, and you're thinking, like, you know, what happened? And after a few interesting moments, I can't tell too many details, you know, she comes out because she's also a neonatal nurse, and she works all these hours, and it's just, you know, effective life. and which is a ministry in itself, and she finally comes out of the back, and this huge relief over her face, you know. So you had two men, two neighbors, looking out for another neighbor because her door was open at 12 o'clock at night or something. When you were at shift work, you know, I left my cruiser door open when I was a deputy because I came off midnights and,
my gosh,
you know, shotgun and all that kind of stuff. And I had a good friend of mine come by and tell me, hey, you probably want to close your cruiser door. You know, I'm like, hey, that's a great idea.
Wow.
Coming off midnights. And anyway, so, but that was so cool to see that. And so recently we had a situation where somebody come in and tried to harm one of our neighbors. And I had to go somewhere, and I spoke to one of my neighbors. And it was beautiful. And he says, basically, if anybody messes with your wife or your home, I will lay lead out. I had to look that up. Not sure what that was, but I felt really good when he said it. Yeah. You know, I mean, lead, it could be dead, lead poisoning or something. I don't know. But, you know, he says, we're neighbors, and we look out for each other. So what I'm saying is, you know, you may pass through your neighborhood. You could be, you've never heard of by all these other things that people say, you know, your podiums or whatever. Mm. Your name never may be in lights, but you are pastoring your neighborhood. You're shepherding them. You're talking, how are you doing, Mrs. Jones? And is everything all right? I know that you went through this sickness over here. And you're just, you know, whether they respond to you or not, welcome. And if you had a congregation, it's going to be the same way. Mm-hmm. You have some people that go, thank you so much. And some other people say, you didn't do a good enough job at it. And you're like, I don't even know what you think you're doing. I mean, but it's just to be there in the midst of, you can pastor your neighborhood. But how many Christians walk right past their neighborhood and are trying to find a podium to speak behind while the neighbors are dying? And especially right now in this time of season. So the greatest pastor of all, shepherd of all, minister in America may be you when you decide to say, you know what, I'm going to pastor my neighborhood. And imagine if Christians began to just do that. Because I believe that last I heard that Christians live in like houses and trailers and apartments and things. And they have people around them that live in trailers, houses, apartments and things. And that God loves those people who lives in trailer houses and apartments and things. It's on your street that you pass every day. That you can get out and begin to meet them and just love them where they are on the way to where they're going. And we have a meeting. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a meeting this week where all of our neighbors will come and we'll all meet and talk about how things are going, how we're going. We even pray. You know, we say, hey, we ask God's blessing and protection over our neighborhood. But that's what we're called to do. I mean, think about how that may be the most powerful ministers around, the ones who shepherd the neighborhood. I mean, because there should be a Christian probably in many neighborhoods based on statistics about Christians in America. Or maybe it's your workplace. I mean, you're an employer. You know, in America has sold out God for the bottom line. And you decided, okay, I'm going to repent. I'm going to quit. I'm going to make people my bottom line. I'll make God my bottom line. And understand that if that's fine, if God and people are fine, then God's going to take care of our business. By the way, that's actually the secret to success now. Google's actually doing that. Large industries doing that. They're actually, he says, if you take care of your employee, then your bottom line's going to grow.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But if you just focus on the bottom line, it's not going to grow. There's not going to be. But if you take care of me, the employee responds by, I'm going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a biblical principle.
How about that?
And so then you say, as a business person, you know, I am going to love on these employees. I'm going to care about their life. I'm going to have empathy. I'm going to have integrity. And I'm not just going to pay them for services rendered, but I'm going to appreciate them for services rendered and bring them into the full picture of what's going on and show them that we're doing this whole thing together and recognition, how's your wife doing, your kids doing, that type of thing. And just what? You could just shepherd your office. It was 90% of businesses in America are small businesses, and only your employees may know this, but it's not only your employees, but it's their wives and husbands and their children that are blessed for the rest of their life and their children's children because you decided to be a godly man or woman over your business. You made it a kingdom business and you blessed them, you shepherded them. I mean, this is a ministry because we're all called to minister. It's not defined as being behind some podium talking to folks. And predominantly based on my experiences, just talking at people who are facing you only it's not an effective method and they're not going to do it. It's when they're talking to each other and there's koinonia and there's a relationship and they care about God and they care about each other that's going to fulfill that thing. More when we get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
Everybody yes. will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now, learning how to abide with God is so important because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step.
It's beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the king since his kingdom is manifesting.
That's
right. It's going to be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth is about to happen. You want to know the king.
When anybody preaches disunity, tries to pit one of us against the other, through class warfare, race hatred, or religious intolerance, you know that person seeks to rob us of our freedom and destroy our very lives.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about, you know, everybody's called to minister, and if it's many of the plans of the man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail, if the Lord orders our steps, if we hear God and follow him, and that's where we are, that's where he wants us to be. And so he wants us to, you know, wherever you are in your neighborhood, believe it or not, he wants you to impact that neighborhood. Wherever you are in your workplace as an employee, employer, or supervisor, he wants you to impact that place with the love of God, with koinonia. I mean, just even think as a deputy or a police officer, every day you're given a district. Every day, maybe you're blessed enough to have the same district for the next 6 months. There's store owners in there. There's homeowners. There's people who that you're seeing in their everyday life. There's schools. I mean, you can make it a point. You know, say, you know, I'm going to pastor my district. I'm going to pastor my precinct. I'm going to let them know that I'm here, that I care for them. This is my name. This is your name. How are you doing? And just build this relationship. And so people have this sense of connectivity. What happened to the day that we knew our officers who worked in our community and mm-hmm. that we had this relationship, and the best crime fighting force is actually the community who partners with the law enforcement to be able to help out. But if you have a sense of that you're being protected and you're being pastored or shepherded in a way by this, you feel better. You feel that this person's for you and it's not, you know, whatever. But you could take your own district or precinct and you could think every day you could pray over that businesses. You could pray that crime wouldn't be in there. You can pray for the resolution of crime, that you can go to, you know, after the burglary and after the feeling of being violated. You can go back to the victim's home and you can talk to them and say, listen, I want to encourage you that this has happened before in other places, but they got through this. We're going to put extra patrol in your neighborhood to let you know you can be peaceful and sleep. And I also want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God would put angels around your house, just asking him to do that, to protect you, to give you peace again. I mean, how comforting is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do these things. You can do these things presently, you know, in America, you can do them. And even if you're in a country that doesn't openly let you do them, you still can do them in your heart and you can still shepherd. Imagine what it would be like if we did that. And you think, well, how can I do that? I haven't been to Bible school. I mean, Bible school's producing people like we were talking about with... Oh, yeah. Everybody's trying to, like, I got to be this super whatever. Mm-hmm. Not all Bible school, but, it's you know, people have, it's what's in our heart. It's what that school is going to produce in me. So whatever is in me, it's going to feel. I mean, if humility is in me and I just want to know more about God so I can serve him later on in my life more, that's what's going to come out. It's not like people pour pride into you. But if somebody doesn't tell you that, you'll walk in a prideful way, right? And just, mm-hmm. it'll all fan the wrong thing. And so, but this is all Jesus asks of us is to be a disciple. That's how you do this. If you want to begin to operate where you are as the minister God's called you to be, first you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Really, not a religious figure, not somebody you see on Sunday, but every day you're seeking him as a bondservant. Lord, what do you want? I know your plans are, you're the creator of the universe, God. You gave me your son. What do you want for, you know, I want to walk this out today. And you make him the Lord of your life. Secondly, you become his disciple. But you need to find out what his teachings are and follow them. I encourage you, if you haven't yet gone, go to Multiply Movement. About 24, 28 different simple little discipling segments that will teach you how to study the Bible. It'll give you the right perspective. Little short 20-minute, 15-minute little video clips. If you don't want to read it, you can push a button that says listen, and you can play the audio, and it just will disciple you and progressively take you through the whole story. And that's what the Bible is. It's one story that God's speaking to us, and it's very powerful. And you can begin this journey saying, you know, I'm saying I'm going to be God's disciple. I'm going to be Jesus' disciple, and I'm going to follow him. And then next, begin to abide with him on a daily basis. And abiding, we have a simple plan how to do that, iabide.org as well. So I encourage you, that's how you do it. So once you're with God and you're hearing God and you're following his teachings, your marriage is going to be your ministry. Your family is going to be your ministry. Your workplace is going to be your ministry. Your neighborhood, your, you know, wherever you work, if you're a political leader, your district, you know, is your ministry. You're actually going to call your district and your people. You're going to return their call. You're not going to give that over to somebody else. Right. You know? You're going to have town hall meetings wanting to really hear what they have to say. And you're going to make effort to have town hall meetings in places that give a good depiction of your district, not just I did one. But if you're shepherding them, you're going to say, if I have it here, you know, people over here are not even going to know about it. They're not going to come up. But if I kind of, you know, you're just going to shepherd it. You care about the people in your district and not just the big contributors and all that. I mean, how many people in traditional expression of church today that they actually pay a lot of attention to the biggest contributor and they pay little or no attention to the one who has much to give. And Jesus said, don't do that.
Mm-mm.
Don't do it. But then how guilty is the church of doing that?
We'll be right back. Dan Gallagher from High Bridge, New Jersey, who's an educator, said, John, talk to me for a minute about connecting. Well, that's one of my favorite subjects. You know, I wrote a book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. Basically, what I was saying in the book is this. A lot of people talk. But haven't you been sitting at a lunch table with somebody and they were talking and nobody was home? I mean, they just weren't. Remember the old gong show when somebody was talking, they weren't doing a good job. You could go over and take the old mallet and gong them and it had to be over. Don't you wish we all had to carry gongs with us and when the conversation got, oh boy, we could just get up and gong somebody and it would be done. Well, it's not that easy. And here's what's sad. So many people, when they don't connect, don't even know they're not connecting. I would encourage you. Begin to ask other people, am I interesting? Am I adding value to you? When I walk into a room and when I'm with somebody in an experience, do people really care and are they excited? Do I have the ability to draw people to me? Am I a connector or am I a disconnector? You see, on a phone, when I'm disconnected, I know it immediately. But so many times in life, people disconnect on a daily basis and don't have a clue. Maybe you need to get my book.
Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The ministry is not as hard as religion has made it out to be. This is what Jesus told the religious. He said, you go all the way across the waters to win a convert, you bring them back and you tell them about a kingdom that you yourself are not entering, and then you prevent them from even trying to get in it, and you make them twice as much a son as hell as you are.
Mm-hmm.
What he said, by the way, if you read it, I mean, a lot of folks don't read the Bible. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Which means shocker.
Yeah, it means being religious don't get you in. And it's like, dear Lord, help me, deliver me from all men's religion. And the religious bones in our body, Lord, help us.
Amen.
You kind of know if you see yourself being judgmental, critical, if your skin crawls because things don't happen the way you think they should happen, versus just observing what's going on and praying about what's happening. So, and this is what the Lord says about religion. So we don't want any part of that. But ministry is not as hard as religion has made it out to be, because Jesus says pure religion is taking care of the widow and the orphan. He didn't say pure religion is, you know, being religious, wearing some flowing robe and, you know, having this beautiful speech. It's an action. It's something that we're doing, a fruit. We're not getting saved by what we do, but because we are saved and we're ministering, so it's about, you know, doing for others. And so if you decide to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you need to be immediately go into discipleship. And like I said, Multiply Movement, we'll make that available for you at VFNTV.com. You need to begin to start that journey. You need to abide with God. You need to begin to learn how, what does that mean to abide with Him? And it's just simple five things. You know, my day, my life starts with gratitude. I hide His word in my heart that I don't do what He doesn't want me to do, which is called sin. That I, you know, spend my time in the word, and when something jumps off or He speaks to me, I write it down. Then I ask Him, what are you saying to me about me? Because it's about our relationship with Him. And then finally, the cross of Christ. I cannot do any of this outside the finished work of the cross. We've got to keep the cross continually before us. And this simple yet powerful walk with God will help you do possibly what this transient did for the transient. You understand that religion is going to go tell you this. You're not doing anything. And you look at them, and they're not doing anything but being religious. They're not bearing fruit. They're not love. I mean, nobody feels love around that person. Even their own family don't feel love. I mean, there's nothing. Let me tell you, I can guarantee you this. A man or a woman with a religious spirit, if you pull people away from them and talk to them, who's around them, they'll tell you it's the most uncomfortable place to be. They're just hard. They're critical. There's just all these obstacles and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, hey, it's prison. And that's not what Jesus called us to be. He called us to be so free that you can freely choose to go to hell. You can choose to not make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And you can say He'll love you all the way to hell. You know what I'm saying? Because He's not going to control you, and religion's about control. And so, when you hear another minister, you know, publicly, you know, calling out names and speaking against other ministers and all, that's religious spirits. What that is, it's just something's on them that wants to destroy a work of God, something that God's doing. I like what one particular minister said. His name is Charles. Can't think of Charles' last name right now, but the Integrity Ministries Simpson. He said, hey, you know, even if a dog comes to town preaching Jesus, throw him a bone.
Right.
But a religious person won't even throw the dog the bone. They'll say, this dog could not be of God, even though 3,000 people just got saved. Right. Yeah, it's amazing what happens. And so, and besides, we need that bone here. You know, we're building a wing on. so ministry is as much as loving someone. And love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. I mean, you're in the shopping mall, and you're talking with folks, and you're letting them go first in the line, and you're seeing. I was getting, you know, Pat and I were coming back from the summit, and there's this man there had a minister that had a collar on, and he's about to go into the bathroom or something like that, and I saw him. I'm like, praise Jesus, you know. Yeah. And Pat wanted another Big Mac or something, McDonald's.
Yeah. Jeez.
For all those things he eats healthy. Anyway, loves the whole big nose on it. And so, but I find out a few moments later when I found out I got cold coffee, and so I had to come back in. I wouldn't have come back, but he's like, "Go, you paid 25 cents. Go get your." It was tough.
Oh, wow.
It was rough, man. Anyway, did you love? Anyway, so well, he just encouraged me strongly to go back in, and he and the clerk said, "I told you to say that." And so I moved in love. I'm like, "I'm sorry, you know, that's right. You're right." But I got a chance to be standing with that minister who I was nice to a little bit earlier. I might not have seen him before. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so I'm talking
See?
To him.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes. Pat was right.
Wow.
Divine appointment.
He's often right. He's often sometimes. Right. Sometimes. He's often most. It, anyway, the. He's right. Ask
are
him.
Are we time-coding this?
Ask him.
Are we
time-coding?
I don't want to know we time-coding.
Ask him. Oh, he knows he's right. He knows he's right. We have to talk about the Lord here. We got to move on.
Okay.
So. And so with that, according to that prophecy, that when I'm talking to him, because I was nice to him a little bit earlier, and I love the fact that, hey, potentially he has a collar on, he might love Jesus. So I shouted out, praise Jesus, or something. He praised me, like, hey, he's praised. But he just finished burying, this is what I find out, because of being kind and really caring about him and excited that somebody loves Jesus. That he just buried his aunt. He just buried his brother did his funeral, mm-hmm. and his sister, I believe it was, another relative, just got put into an oxygen tent.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You know, that's just, and he's coming from holding that services. And so I had a chance to tell him, you know, man, I told him about where we came from and what was going on with the summit. And he goes, man, that sounds like heaven. I'm like, yeah, you know, that many people from around the world coming to here, you know. And I said, yeah, and I got a chance to encourage him. But you could just pass people by, or mm-hmm. you can stop and say, you know, love is patient, love is kind. So I just yelled out the door, Pat, wait a minute. I'm ministering. No, I did.
Did he hear you? Horn blowing?
I was too busy eating my Big Mac.
Yeah, he was with jalapenos on it.
Wow.
Anyway, so, we heard about a little bit later down the road. It was just that moment. That's ministry. We're all called to minister, we're all called to pause. And ask this particular person, what's your name? If it's a peculiar, where did that name come from? How are you doing today? It looks like you're having a rough day. You know, when you see, you can go to a particular store and people treat you really bad. You can either go, I will never shop there again. Or you can repent for your flesh and say, you know what? Obviously something's going on. Why would that person kill their own business?
Mm-hmm.
And begin to pray for that person. And next time you're there, you can ask them, is everything going okay? Is everything all right? I mean, you're killing your business. You're thinking to your heart. You said, obviously, you don't want to kill your source. What's happening? You may find out the same thing that's going on with this minister. It's time for, that's true ministry. Well, you may never have to wear a clergy collar. You may never have to go to some fancy Bible school where you're polyester pants.
Mm-hmm.
You may never be able to have all those different things, but every day you're around somebody that you can love in the name of God. You can be patient. You can be kind and long-suffering with, that you can demonstrate the love of God, and you can be in and you can share and preach the kingdom of God is there, and they themselves, unlike the Pharisees who wouldn't let them in, you can tell them how to enter into the kingdom of God by making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. We're all called to minister. Every one of us are called to minister. And most people, even at this particular summit that we're at, I would say about 90, 98% of them, were led to the Lord not by television, not by huge crusades. They were led by a friend or a relative who witnessed to them in their own life and told them about Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We're spending 90% of our budget in America, in the church, on what produces potentially 10% of the harvest. We've got to begin to encourage each other to go out and make disciples. Disciples make disciples. God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.